the blood still works. Hallelujah. I thank God for the blood that came streaming down at Calvary. I thank God for the blood of Jesus, the powerful blood of Jesus, the yoke-destroying blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the wonderful name of Jesus, the sweetest name I know. Hallelujah. So good to be in the house of the Lord one more time on this first Sunday of 2017. Somebody bless the name of the Lord for this first Sunday of 2017. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do want to get to this word. Amen. And I want the people of God to grab hold of this word. I want to invite you to turn with me to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. We're going to consider verse 31. I want to give a shout out to Brother Anthony Rice. I pray that he's watching. Sister Ruby should be watching as well. God bless you. Sister Noelia Robinson, God bless you. Amen. Just so glad that you can join us and be involved in worship through streaming. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 31. I want to read from the King James Version this morning. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For a little while, I want to deal with the subject, waiting on the Lord. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this hour. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your presence and to come before your word. And we ask, Lord God, that you'll speak from heaven, that you would touch our very hearts, minister to our souls. We bless you, Lord God, for just being so good to us. Now open our eyes, open our hearts, open our spirits, and lead us even now through this word. Father, use me as your vessel. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Let God's people say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we also, once again, salute Sister Olivia Boatner. God bless you as well. We certainly miss you. At times, life can seem like a living hell. And sometimes it seems that we're walking through life with gasoline undergarments. Can I get a witness in the building? I need to say that just one more time. At times, life can seem like a living hell. And it seems that we're walking through hell with gasoline drawers on. Can I say it that way? The soul who says that life is always great, grand, and glorious is either delusional, overwhelming trouble yesterday. We want relief and we want it yesterday because we can hardly feel that we can even stand in the midst of the trouble. We ask ourselves, can I still go on? And we say, I want some deliverance and I need it yesterday. Doesn't that sound good? God, good. But as I examine the biblical record, I find that at times God moves slow. Not just slow, but about us. But we're wondering, when is God? And we sit in time. God has a perspective. And we have a perspective. We're saying, how long, O Lord, focused on time? But God is focused on purpose. We're saying, how long, O Lord? And God's saying, allow me to fulfill my purpose in your life. And God does not get locked into a timetable like us. So we struggle. And we say, I don't know if I can make it. Now we know that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's easy enough to understand when you just want some nicety, something that you just want to enjoy. You can't wait to receive some blessing, but you must wait. There's hope deferred, and it makes your heart sick. We understand when you're just looking for something nice, but how much more is it magnified when you're going through a dark time, a difficult time, when your life is filled with trouble? And you've been praying and you've been calling on the name of the Lord and you want God to come and see about you, but the solution has not come. The answer has not come. The remedy has not come. The deliverance has not come. It moves beyond simply wanting something nice. It moves to a place whereby we say and think, if God does not come and see about me, I don't think I can stand. And it causes us distress in our souls, in our minds. We're perplexed in our thinking. Our hearts are broken within us. Our peace, our tranquility, our shalom, our Irene is now disturbed because we're facing some things. And we're waiting on the Lord, and we need him to come and see about us. We need to understand that the people of Israel understood exactly what I'm talking about. They understood how we were the candidates who could have received what we now have. And we're asking God, God, is this even fair? But beloved, do understand that God comes alongside you to give you comfort when you're walking through those dark places, those dry places, those bloody places, those places where all you see is lack, where you need the provision of God. Those dry places where you need the moisture of God. That's, see, God comes in to see about you, and God comes to walk with you. You see, you need to understand that this is what's happening. You need God to walk with you, but you need to know that God will walk with you. Now, the reality is, if you find yourself in trouble, let me see if I can just bring it on down to a low level. If, let's say, you out in school somewhere, and you know the boys that you run with, the girls that you run with, and something jump off a fight about to happen. Because folk in here like to fight. I know that. So a fight about to happen. Now, you know the opposing party have three bruisers. And you look at your crew, and you know that one can't fight. That one broke his wrist last time he threw a blow. And that person getting ready to run. See, you just don't want help. You want the right kind of help. You want the good help. So if you're going to even fashion in your mind that you're waiting on the Lord, can you at least have some idea who you're waiting on? See, you need to, if you were to just take a few moments in your free time, and begin reading with verse 12 of Isaiah 40. I'm going to read maybe just a few verses so we can have a picture of this mighty God that we're waiting on. Notice verse 12. Who have measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who have directed the spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor have taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Verse 18, to whom then will we liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretch out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. We serve a mighty God, yet we find trouble. And as we are facing our trouble, as we are finding our trouble, notice down towards the end of chapter 40 where it says, after speaking of a God who has no equal, verse 29 says, he giveth power to the faint. Do you feel faint today? God has power. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Do you have no might today? He increased strength. Notice verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. What is being uttered here, speaking of the youth? You see, when we were young, we thought we can just handle anything from our own strength, from our own abilities, because we had youthfulness on our sides. We could do anything but fail. We were like God. We could do anything but fail. But the reality is, even the young folk shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You at some point will come to the end of your resources. You will come to the end of yourself. You may be trying to hold it together. You say, I'm going to fast for 3 days and 3 nights. I'm going to hit my knees every day, every single hour of the day. But at some point, you will come to the end of your resources. But verse 31 is our salvation. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So even as we're going through some difficult times, we need to learn how to wait on the Lord. You see, when you wait on the Lord, you're making a declaration that it's too soon to throw in the towel. When you're waiting on the Lord, it says, I still believe in the power of God. See, when you're waiting on the Lord, you say, I still believe that God can bring me out and bring me through. When you're waiting on the Lord, you're saying, I will wait until my change comes. See, when you wait on the Lord, you take a position and a posture. I will not be moved from this place. There are storms in my life, yet I am waiting on the Lord. I shall not be moved, for God shall come and see about me. So we must take the position and the posture of waiting on the Lord. But how shall we wait on the Lord? We wait reflectively on the Lord. See, the reality is sometimes the present pressures and the stifling struggles somehow try to convince us that God can't make a way out of no way. And we get consumed with the problem at hand. We're meditating not on God, but on the problem. We're vexed in our spirit because we're going around telling everybody about the problem rather than the problem solver. But while you're waiting on the Lord, can you wait reflectively? Can you wait thinking about the goodness of God? Can you sometime just replay some scenarios in your mind when God turned things around? When God came to you in the midnight hour? When God turned your midnight into day, when God turned your morning into dancing, when God touched your body and brought healing, can you replay in your mind those times when God came to see about you? The time when folks said, God has forgotten you, yet you saw God come busting through the door. When folks said, this situation is too difficult for God. But that's when God rolled up his sleeves and God made a way out of no way. Replay those times in your mind when your enemies begin to gather and you say, God, arise. so my enemies be scattered. Think about the times that you could not meet your bills, could not pay your bills, and God somehow sent somebody. While you're waiting, can you wait reflectively? Can you think about what God has already done? Can you say God made a way out of no way? Can you say God has been good to me? Can you say every time I turn around, he keeps blessing me? Every time I turn around, he's opening doors for me. Wait on the Lord reflectively. Thinking about what God has done for you. And I want to invite you to take the story further. You even now can confess and proclaim the goodness of the Lord. You can say, you can't tell it, let me tell it what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. As we're waiting on the Lord, wait reflectively. Not so much passively, but you're saying, I'm just thinking about the goodness of my God. God has already done some things in my life. Go ahead and sit down. I need to take you through some stuff. Sit on down for a minute. See, if we're going, let me give you some help and thinking and waiting rather reflectively. See, if you're going to wait reflectively, sure, think about the things that God has already done in your life. But then throw in the redemptive names of God. Reflect on that. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and his grace is sufficient for me. See, let me go ahead and tell you something. See, you like cute stuff. You like cute stuff. You want everything to be cute and pretty in a box with a bow on it, with a light shining on it. You want everything cute. But with God, everything is not cute. Walk around talking about Jehovah Jireh. Amen. But put it in context. Put it in context. Don't just say God's going to provide. He's my provider. Put it in context. How did we know him as Jehovah Jireh? Because God allowed Abraham to get in a place, to get in a bind where he thought he had to kill his son. And just in the nick of time, God stepped in. God brought provision. God made a way out of no way. Just in the nick of time. You might think you're going under. You might think you're going down. But allow God to step in. Just in the nick of time. Jehovah Jireh. Can you imagine what Abraham was thinking? Abraham, look over there for the provision that I have for you. See, that's Jehovah Jireh. Reflect on that. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner. Stop being cute. Jehovah Nissi, beautiful song. But understand that God is your banner who goes before you in the battle. See, you don't want a battle. If you don't want a battle, how can God go before you in the battle? Can you wait reflectively, reflecting on the redemptive names of God? See, I don't mind fighting if I know that the Lord is my banner. I don't mind fighting if he's going before me. I don't mind fighting if he's going to throw the first punch. Because I believe that first punch he throws, he's throwing it from his shoulder. And there would be no need to fight after that. Call 911. Set up some triage. It's over. Let's go and have the funeral. God done did it again. But we reflect on the redemptive names of God. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. See, you can't know the Lord who heals you until you are sick. See, that's when God specializes. See, God's not pulling out healing power just for play. You know what they say in the street? They say, if you pull out a gun, you better use it. God sometimes seems to take it to the street. I ain't going to pull out this power unless it's needed. This ain't play. So we know that God is a healer. We reflect on that. So if you need healing, at least reflect on the fact that God can heal. But if you find yourself in a dark place because you have been wayward, reflect on the reality that Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. He pulls us back into fellowship with him when we are wayward. When he told us not to do it, but we did it anyway. Told us not to go, but we went anyway because we were grown and we were smelling ourselves. But we reflect on Jehovah Rohi. But then we come to a point in our lives. Looking all around. Where is God? But then you begin to reflect on the reality that God is Jehovah Shammah. The God who's present, the God who is there. And when you begin to realize that he is a God who's there, then you're waiting reflectively, knowing you're not by yourself. It may seem like you're by yourself, but you're not by yourself at all because you're reflecting on Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. And you're reminded and encouraged that God has not left you. So while you're waiting on the Lord, why not wait reflectively? But add to waiting reflectively, waiting expectantly. So you need to learn how to expect some things from God. Because if you've taken the time to reflect on who God is and what God has done, why should you wait expectantly? See, too often we look at difficulties of the situation. And we say that this situation will never change. Some of you are thinking that even now. The situation will never change. I've been dealing with this for too long, and it will never change. But you need to wait expectantly. You need to say, because God is who he is, I can expect him to rise to the occasion and do something about my situation. We need to walk around with a spirit of expectancy. I don't know when. I don't know where. I don't know how. But I expect God to do something. I'm not going to try to tie his hands and tell him how to do it. I've told him what I need done overall. And I let God fill in the blanks. But I'm expecting God to do something. And don't allow the situation that you're facing rob you of the spirit of expectancy. You need to ask yourself the question, will God keep a promise or not? And if God gives a promise, God will fulfill that promise. Okay, maybe you're not getting this. Let me say it like this. You need to take a page from Joseph's book. Joseph found himself in Egypt. He was about to die. Now, he told his brother, he said, listen, now I need you to make sure you take my bones up out of here. Because God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a land. And this is not the land of promise. So I know that when I die, I'm dying over here. But it's not what God promised us. When God promised us something, he will fulfill that promise. So when we leave, when God take us up out of here, take my bones with you. He was expecting God to step in and fulfill his promise. He didn't say that it looks like I'm about to leave the scene, so perhaps God won't do it. No, he was expecting God to do what he said. So the situation does not change or dampen, lessen, decrease the spirit of expectancy. If God said it, believe it. If God said it, believe it. If God said it, believe it. If God said it,
act like you believe it. Take my bones up out of here, because one day God's going to take us to the land that he promised. So we're waiting on the Lord reflectively, expectantly, but also let's wait on him joyfully. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Because in the end, we'll know we're going to win. See, we need to be waiting joyfully. Go around telling people, God about to do it. God, about, what are you going to do? I don't know, but he's about to do it. God's going to do it. God's about to do it. God's about to tear some stuff up. I got joy unspeakable because God's going to tear some stuff up. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? God will make a way out of no way. God about to do some stuff. I got joy in my soul. I'm waiting on the Lord. God's going to turn some things around. You can wait joyfully. Waiting joyfully. Saying, my God is going to pull back the curtain of heaven. Going to pour out some blessings into my life. And I'll give him some praise then. But I'll give him some praise now. Because I have joy unspeakable, full of glory. I can have joy while I'm waiting for God to work. I believe that my God will make a way out of no way. Wait joyfully, joyfully. But let me teach you something. Let me teach you something. There's a difference between happiness and joy. See, somebody slipped your $40, you happy. Somebody made you a sweet potato pie, you happy. They announced your name in church, commending you for doing some outstanding ministry and service, you're happy. Soon as they call the name of the folk who participated in the outreach on Saturday and they overlook your name, not happy. So you were happy the week before, but your happiness is dependent upon the happenings. Can I suggest you have some joy? See, joy is not predicated on a situation. It's predicated on a Savior. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. I'm going to wait reflectively, expectantly, and joyfully. See, when you have joy, it's like you have a secret that folks can't understand. It seems like you shouldn't get happy until you see the manifestation of the thing you believe in God for in the first place. And I said, no. Did you hear Sister Letitia Wright testify last night? Apply for the job. Interview for the job in September. Here it is, January. Have not heard anything about getting the job. But she said, I can give God some glory without the job. That's joy. That's joy. That's joy. I want the job, but I have joy in spite of the job. If I don't get the job, I'll still have joy. I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm waiting joyfully. I want God to do it, but even if he doesn't do it, I still have joy. Okay. Okay. I hear the haters. I hear the haters. I hear the haters. You saying you can't use Sister Letitia Wright in your sermon like we're supposed to grab hold of that. You need to give me some scripture. All right. Remember the three Hebrew boys. When they were threatened with being thrown in a fiery furnace. They leaned back and said, our God is able to deliver us. Our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, let me go to paraphrase it, we'll still have joy. We'll still have our praise. We will not serve idol gods, but we'll serve the true and the mighty God. We know he can do it. He will do it. But even if he doesn't do it, I'll still have joy. I'll still magnify his name. I'll still bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. I'm going to wait on the Lord joyfully, this joy that I have. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. So we're waiting on the Lord, reflectively, expectantly, joyfully. What does the text say? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord, when you wait on the Lord, again, not so much passively, but you're waiting reflectively, expectantly, joyfully, and you're waiting for God to do something. God will do something, the text tells us. He shall renew our strength. Right now, you feel like life is taking you down, but God's going to renew your strength and have you come up strong and vibrant and robust and ready to take on the world. Why? Because you waited on the Lord and he renewed your strength. She'll mount up with wings as eagles. That sounds good. But I love balance. See, God doesn't always change our situation the way we want him to change it. But if God allows you to mount up with wings as eagles, that's at least telling me that no matter what the situation is, he has given me the ability to soar over it. I'm not grounded, but I can soar over it. See, I'm not stuck in one place, but I can now run and not be weary. I can walk and not faint. In other words, I'm not standing in the same place. I'm still moving on in my God. Because God has given me the ability to move on in him, to move out in him. The situation is not what I want it to be, but I can still soar above it. My perspective has changed. God is still good. And if God wants me to go through this situation, I am assured that his grace is sufficient for me. So I'll take that grace. I'll work with that grace. I'll run and I'll walk. But I refuse to allow the situation to keep me standing still. But what about when God does turn your situation around? Exactly the way you envisioned it. Exactly the way you drew it up on the board. You'd ask God to come through at 9:47 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And at 9:47 a.m. Tuesday morning, you see the fulfillment of what you've been praying about. What do you do then? Do we have anybody that can help me just really seal this deal? What do we do then? What's in your mouth then? What are you doing with your hands then? What are you doing with your feet then? Can you plant your feet and bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me? Bless his holy name. Forget not any of his benefits. I will bless the Lord and I will magnify the Lord, because God has shown me that he is my rock, that he is my refuge, that he is my fortress, that God is my hiding place. So I'll bless him. I waited on him. Now I bless him, because God is a mighty good God. God is a good God. Yes, he is. So I magnify the sovereign Lord. I'll magnify the Holy One of Israel. I'll magnify the Prince of Peace. I'll magnify the everlasting Father. I will always give him praise, because he turned my mourning into dancing. God stepped in just in the nick of time and rewarded me for waiting on him. So now I bless his name. I said, Lord, you are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I bless you, oh God, because you are a good God. I waited on the Lord, and he showed me his deliverance. Can you bless God for deliverance? Can you bless God for stepping in just in the nick of time? As you rest on your feet.